Stay tuned as we talk about an astonishing prophetic portrait in the Old Testament that points to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, in the New Testament. Today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, is talking about an amazing prophetic picture of Yeshua HaMashiach in the Old Testament. The title of this series is Joseph, a Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of our program. It's good to have you with us today, listening friend, as we continue this discussion of Joseph as a prophetic portrait of the Messiah. And we said there are at least 17 specific parallels between Yosef and Yeshua, between Joseph and Jesus. That is 17 prophetic links that connect Joseph and Jesus and point to Jesus as the fulfillment of the typology of the Messiah. Joseph was a wonderful type or foreshadowing or symbol of the New Testament fulfillment in the Messiah. He was a foreshadowing of Messiah Yeshua. Now, the first parallel was that Joseph and Jesus were both given two names. The second parallel was that Joseph and Jesus were both loved by their fathers. And then number three was that Joseph and Jesus were both shepherds of their father's sheep. Now, today we come to point number four, and that is that both Joseph and Jesus were sent by their fathers to their brothers. Genesis 37:12 says, "And Joseph's brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, that is Jacob, said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And Joseph said to his father Jacob, Here am I." So Joseph was sent by his father to his brothers. Jacob told Joseph to leave the valley of Hebron and go to Shechem to check on his brothers. Joseph's answer was, "Here am I," showing that he was ready and willing to go. And that's what he did. He went. But when he arrived in Shechem, his brothers were not where they were supposed to be. Some of the local people told Joseph that his brothers had left Shechem and gone to Dothan, which was farther north on the way to Mount Carmel. So Joseph headed for Dothan, searching for his brothers. When he found them, however, they did not receive him as a brother. Instead, they conspired to kill him. Look at verse 18. This is Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. It says, "Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said one to another, Look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." You see, they wanted to kill him. Now follow me, because we're going somewhere with this. Why did Joseph's brothers want to kill him? Because they rejected his claims to preeminence. Remember those dreams? In Joseph's dreams, he saw his brothers bowing down before him. They were in subjection to him. And they didn't like the idea of being in subjection to their younger brother. So they were angry and they were jealous of him. Now watch this. Jesus was also sent by his father. In John 5:30, Jesus said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." So like Joseph was sent by his father, Jacob, Jesus was sent by his father, God the Father. Now stay with me. Jesus was sent by his father to his brothers, that is, his Jewish brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh. In fact, in Matthew 15:24, Jesus said he was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus was not sent to the Gentiles. Sometimes we think he was, because later it was the Gentiles who embraced him when he had been rejected by his own people. But Jesus himself said he was not sent to anyone other than the house of Israel, and he compares them to lost sheep. Okay, are you still with me? So Jesus was sent by his father to his brothers, but when he arrived, just like Joseph, his Jewish brothers were not, in a spiritual sense, where they were supposed to be. When Joseph got to Shechem, he found that his brothers were not there. And when Jesus the Messiah arrived, his brothers were not where they were supposed to be either. Instead of being in the place of consecration, where they would have recognized the Messiah through eyes of faith, the Jewish leadership had become worldly and largely corrupt. The Sanhedrin during the Second Temple period was influenced by Rome, and it was stacked with wealthy Jewish aristocrats, many of them Sadducees. These were people who were more interested in economics and politics and the comforts of life than they were in the coming of the Son of David. Now, when Joseph got to Shechem and his brothers were not where they were supposed to be, what did Joseph do? He pursued them. He followed them to Dothan. And when Jesus got here and his brethren were not where they were supposed to be, what did he do? He pursued them. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19:10. He pursued his brothers. Now, when Joseph found his brothers, they did not receive him as a brother. Instead, they turned against him and they wanted to kill him. Likewise, Jesus' brothers did not receive him either. John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own did what? They received him not. Not only that, but they conspired to have him killed. Let's look at Matthew 26:3. It says, "Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas, and they plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him." And by the way, there's just so much of this story that has been verified by archaeology in the last 30 or 40 years, especially since 1967, when the Israelis took back the old city of Jerusalem, the excavations around the Western Wall, the burnt house excavations there in the old city of Jerusalem, the Herodian mansions. They even think they've excavated the palace of Caiaphas, where the Sanhedrin met to conspire against Jesus and where they took him on the night before the crucifixion. And you know, that really is amazing, to look down at those first century floors, some of them beautiful mosaic floors that have been excavated and restored, and to think that our Lord may have stood right there in that very place. It's amazing. But there's more. Why did they want to kill Jesus? Mainly because of his claims to preeminence, just like Joseph. The leaders of the Jewish nation were resentful of Jesus' claims of preeminence. He said he was the Messiah, the King of Israel, the Son of the living God. And when they interrogated him, he answered them by saying that someday they would see him sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Matthew 26:64. Not only that, but he claimed to have attributes that belong only to God. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." In the Greek text, it's ego eimi. I am as I am. I am being. The same phrase that's used in the Septuagint to translate Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. Jesus was equating himself with God. Did you know that there are Hasidic sects where they won't even say I am, because to them it's sacred? Instead of saying I am a carpenter, they will say something like, "My vocation is carpentry." Or instead of saying, "I am happy," they will say, "My heart is filled with happiness," or something else to avoid saying, "I am." And all through the Gospel of John, you have these I am sayings of Jesus. In John 6:48, he said, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:1, he said, I am the true vine. That's seven in all. Seven places where Jesus used the formula I am plus something else. Or in the Greek, ego eimi. He used it to describe himself, just like God described himself with the same words in Exodus 3:14. That's why when someone who understands the culture and who understands the language reads these Gospels, he understands exactly what Jesus meant. Jesus was equating himself with God. And as a Jew, that's going to force you to make a choice. You're going to either have to dismiss Jesus as an imposter and as a blasphemer, or you're going to have to fall on your face and call him Lord and Master. It has to be one or the other. So when Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin and the high priest said, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus answered them and said that there would be a time when they would see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Matthew 26:64. And when the members of the Sanhedrin heard those words, how did they react? Here's what it says. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Matthew 26, verses 65 and 66. They sentenced him to death, just as Joseph's brothers sentenced him to death. Well, we're out of time. Are you beginning to see how amazing this parallel is between Joseph and Jesus? And just think, we're only on point number 4, and there are 17 of these parallels altogether. Most of these points, we're not going to have time for a lot of detail. We're just going to have to zip through them. But I want to give you enough detail, at least, so you can begin to appreciate just how remarkable it really is. Hope to see you next time. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. If you've enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that we've put all this information together on CD or cassette. The title is Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, and it's available for your gift of just $6 to this ministry. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As Dr. Gary Hedrick continues, Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.